I think we've formed the necessary quorum now to proceed and take a presentation. Our program was going to be a very long program. But unfortunately, we are not going to proceed with the rest of the program because of the absence of the minister. So we'll only take we'll start with the quarterly report, and then as part of that we'll also get some update on the issue regarding the weather services and the CEOs on suspension. Just want to get some update there. So basically we felt that we needed to close all issues which are outstanding that affect the weather services. We had an issue with the board. It was the previous board. I don't know whether the previous or what, because some of the members who were serving on the board before it was reconstituted are still serving in the current board. So I don't know whether the previous or the current, but let me just say the board. We had an engagement with the board, and we felt that there's some serious issues that are affecting the board, and therefore requested the minister then to give us an update on the assessment of performance of the board since inception. We're going to look at the attendance of meetings by board members, some of the key decisions taken by the board, the functionality of the board committees, key appointments and dismissals made by the board, interface between the board and management, remuneration of board members, an update on the suspension of the CEO. And then we were going to get a presentation from the Parliamentary Legal Services on the legal advice that we requested as a committee. And then from there we're going to reconsider the report that we adopted relating to the reasons why the South African Weather Services Board should not be held liable for the fruitless and wasteful expenditure following their decision to terminate the services of the former CEO, Dr. Magulena. So this is a report that we previously adopted, and we requested that legal services should give us their opinion on some of the recommendations which were there. So those were some of the issues that we asked that the minister must brief us on, because as we near the end of our term, we wanted to close all these issues, and so that you don't burden the next board, the next portfolio committee, with all these outstanding matters. So we have received an apology from the minister who's attending to urgent family matters, which we have discussed, and they are indeed urgent family issues that she's attending to. And we also have received apology from the person who drafted the opinion from Parliamentary Legal Services. She's on leave from the 1st to the 10th, so we can't get this opinion. And as a result, we can't consider the report, because she was going to take us through the opinion in respect of the recommendations which are contained in our report. So those two issues we are not going to deal with. I have agreed with the minister that we will reschedule this one to the date when it's going to be convenient for us to receive that briefing, because we do need that briefing so we can conclude on the board. Some people were suggesting that we must just abandon this matter because in any case we've got a new board. But our difficulty, or my difficulty, is that some of the people who were in the previous board are still in this new board. And some of those people who have got serious problems with how they managed the affairs of the organization in the past. So it's not just a simple matter of just abandoning it because there's a new board led by the new chair. We still have got people who think that they must be responsible and be held accountable for whatever happened in the previous board. In fact, the ideal thing would have been for the minister to constitute a completely new board, discard everybody who was serving in that board. But it's a decision of the executive, and we don't have much say except to scrutinize and to hold whoever has taken that decision to account. We are going to proceed if there is no apologies. Okay, let me just deal with a few that we have here. I've already explained the apology of the minister. The DM would not be able to attend. She's attending a select committee on land and mineral resources. The department is briefing the committee on the SADC protocol on environmental management and on the Kigali amendment to the Montreal protocol. So the minister is attending another committee. The DG will not be able to attend. She's attending the same committee, select committee on land and mineral resources, on the SADC protocol on environment, and on the Montreal, on the Kigali amendment as well. The whip, Honorable Makubela, is not feeling well. He's still on sick leave. I spoke to him yesterday. He's recovering well. It was actually something serious. He was admitted for 3 days at hospital in Johannesburg. But he's recovering well now. He has been advised by the doctors not to travel so that he gives his body some chance to recover. So hopefully next week he will be around. We also got apologies for late arrivals. Pardon. The others, Hadebe. Okay. Looks like the other members have abandoned their post. Gone over A-Hall. You know, when you reach the end of the term of parliament, when you there's list processes and all of these things, sometimes when things become hot, some comrades will just feel that this thing is difficult. In any case, I'm no longer on the list, so I leave everything else, go home. So that's something that is outside of our control as a committee. But yeah, some members have lost interest. But we are still here. Whether on the list or not on the list, we must complete the task that we have been given by our organizations to come and represent the people here in Parliament. So this is exactly what we will be doing. You're welcome. Doc, welcome to the committee. Yeah, Dr. Maisel, he's a very educated man. Highly learned comrade. Anyway, over to you. I don't know, the chair. Yeah, let's hand over to the chair.
Good morning, Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. I must apologize, for I have a flu, so I'm not feeling great. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present to you our quarterly report. I have accompanying the Deputy Chairperson, Dr. Philip Dexter, on my left, and I also have the Acting Chief Executive, Ngeni Dlamini, who will take us through the report, and the CFO, Ms. Busisiwe Shongwe, who will do the financial part of the report. And from the HR side, we have a senior manager responsible for talent management, Ms. Moelo Mutibi, in case there are HR matters that come up, so this is who we brought to this meeting. Chair, can I just agree with you that we were also hoping that this matter of, you know, the earlier matter spoke about, we will be concluding on it so we can start on a good footing, but things happen the way they do, so there's not a whole lot to be. I'm talking about the report that the minister was going to table, so hopefully we can get it closed before the end of term. Our third quarter report, I have to upfront admit that it's not as great as we would have wanted it to be.
Can you pull the mic
can you,
in your direction?
Am I away from it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
there you go. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say our third quarter report is not where we would have wanted it to be, but we have been assured by management that there are plans in place and they are making progress in terms of meeting our targets. Even having said that, there are two areas that we as a board note that we may probably not be able to achieve. This is the employment equity area of bringing women, improving the women content and black because of the way the institution, the scientific institution is structured. So we'll have to come up with a plan on how we're going to meet that. The other one where we are doubtful that we'll be able to achieve is a matter of the new building. We still have not been able to raise the funds to get started with the new office block. On that note, Chair, I'm going to immediately hand over to Ngeni Dlamini, of course, we're available for the questions after the presentation. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. My Chairperson of the Board and Deputy Chairperson and my colleagues, DDG, good morning. This is the quarter three government's report for 2018-2019 as introduced by the Chairperson. So I will summarize, Honorable Chair, the overall summary of quarter three and also go to the details of the target. And then, with your permission, I'll focus those that are partially achieved and those that are non-achieved, Chair. Then the CFO will take us through the financial report. Just to look at the overall view, Chairperson, we have achieved 59.4%, and then we have not achieved 25% as per the end of quarter three. And then the partially achieved is 15.6%. As the Chairperson has alluded to, Honorable Chair, We have made put plans in place, so we're already achieving for quarter four and quarter and end of the year those that were not achieved. Most of those, Chair. And then if I look at the strategic goal number one, Chair, which is provision of products and services, we had a target of 10 community radio stations receiving weather information from source. This is part of implementing our integrated service strategy, where now we have changed the approach to try to make sure we increase the reach to the users, and then we also monitor how many are we reaching so that we can reach as much as possible. In that area, Chair, we have overachieved because we managed to get 20 radio stations. Because we thought that the research that we are still going to conduct is going to take us long, and we're talking about now other organizations, so we thought that it will delay a bit, but to our surprise, we managed to overachieve. And then the next one, Chair, was about the mobile application downloads. We had a target of 1,825. We only achieved 1,771, then missing about 54 downloads to achieve. So that's why it has become partially achieved. And then this other target is not applicable for quarter three, but for annual target, Chair. So I'll go to the next partially achieved target, which is on strategic objective 2.1, Chair, which is strategic goal 2, capability and capacity development. Here, Chair, is on our ICT. Most of the meteorological services have made a decision recently, Chair, that the ICT is not only playing a role of support function in a national meteorological service, but it is also a driver of a meteorological business. This is due to the fact that most of the products and services are driven by technology, Chairperson. So hence we also made a decision through the board to enhance the ICT technology. So during the development, then there were other areas that were identified, and then we had to reprioritize the budget as part of implementing the integrated service strategy. So then that caused a delay because we didn't want to move fast with the ICT strategy that is not informed by the emerging issues. So hence there was a delay, Chair, because the target was saying it must have a final report ICT strategy during quarter three. As we speak, it's being finalized now. It's going to be signed off during March. So as for the annual target, it will be achieved, Honorable Chair. The next one, Chair, that is not achieved, still within strategic goal 2, is the three career paths approved for the ICT. So we had to look at our job profile and competencies that we had for ICT in line with the decision that is made that the ICT now in med services internationally is the driver of the business. But for this particular one, Chair, it was an error. The target of quarter four was done in quarter three. So that was an error. We apologize for that, Chair. When it was realized, we're already in the middle of completing that target of quarter four. Hence, it's not achieved. As we speak, Chair, that target of quarter four was completed, and then also the one of quarter three, so that means that the annual target is already realized, Chairperson. And then the other one, Honorable Chair, is the one on the EE target. We've got the annual target of achieving 70% black, but it's also broken down into some components. So during this quarter, we said we will implement two transformation programs, Chair. But we only implemented one transformation program, which is women on leadership. I'm just not sure why we totally gave this one a red, Chair, because when I was preparing, I thought this should have been partially achieved. But as we speak, Chair, that 70% black target for the year we have already achieved. So we will be on course for the year, Chairperson. And then the coming ones are green. And then the next red one, Chair, is still on strategic goal number 2, capability and capacity development. The target, it was on conduct feasibility study. It is related to the land that we have in Waterkloof, where about 16 hectares out of 32 hectares is usable. Is the one the chairperson of the board indicated that we could not have funds to keep that the project as planned. So even the annual target share is not going to be achieved. So we are planning now to resource it during 2019-2020 financial year. I must say, it, Honorable Chair, that if we manage to develop this land, it can relieve a lot from the strain of financial resources because the rental will not be there. There's a possibility that we can also build offices that we can rent out because 16 hectares is quite a huge piece of land, Honorable Chairperson. And then I'm going to the strategic goal number 3, Honorable Chair, which is engaged stakeholders. Now in objective 3.1, Chair, we had 65% of communication plan implemented. We could not achieve that there, Chair. We are only short of 4% to reach the 65%. The incumbent was also newly recruited chairperson. That also was the cause because we didn't have a person on communication. But I think we are on track currently, Chair. Honorable Chair, the second one, it was on 30% increase in traffic volumes. This one, Chair, is related to social media as part of trying to reach almost all the population of the country. So we have broken down this one. We had planned for this quarter that we will reach 30% on the Twitter and then 30% on the Facebook. On the Twitter, Chair, we reached 27.31%, so we missed 2.69%. It was quite close. On the Facebook, Honorable Chair, we overachieved. We reached 67.48%. So we managed to double on that particular one. Going to the next one, Chair, within the stakeholder engagement, strategy goal number 3, the target is related on developing strategic partnership framework, which is the annual target. So this is a drive towards increasing revenue generation. So the target for the quarter was to issue the RFI and RFQ, which has been done but not completed, hence it is partially achieved. So we've got that RFQ that was approved by ESCO, and then we the RFI, sorry, Chair, and then RFQ defined and authorized by ESCO, but the issue of RFQ has delayed. The bulletin closed in December last year, Chairperson. Still on engage stakeholders, Chair, the next one was implementation and monitoring of risk management plan. What we've done now, we reviewed the review of the soft strategic risk and alignment to new strategic objectives was to be conducted. We had to wait, Chair, for the appointment of the new board which was effected from the 1st of January 2019. So we do have now the full board. The new members have been appointed. They've already sat in the first committee meeting and the first full board meeting at the end of January.
Also, you have got a new board now.
Officially, Chair, the term of the first board was ending last year. So then officially the new board was appointed, so we've got new additional members in the board, Chair.
Okay.
So as we speak now, the new board has scheduled a date to workshop on the risk, but the management has realigned the risk already to the new strategy. So we'll be sitting within May for this workshop. On the strategic goal for share, research and knowledge, intelligence creation, we had a target, Chair, that is related to a socio-economic benefit of a national med service. This is an international drive to have a way of showcasing or a way of making the country understand the benefit of a national meteorological service. So we also follow the suit. So this quarter, Chair, we plan to secure 50% funding of the socio-economic benefit study for the proposal that we have achieved. But we have not determined the value of the weather and climate service for identified economic sectors, Chair. We needed some expertise in this area. We advertised, but we couldn't get the expertise. This is part of the care scheme. So we have now re-advertised. But what we've done, Honorable Chair, is to use the internal expertise, although that it's almost a plan B, Chair, not the ideal situation. Hence, we've got plan that this is going to be achieved as the annual target and then quarter four, Chair. And then the fifth goal, Chair, is on growth and sustainability, Chair. So here we had a target on the grant that we get from government, 51.51 million, this target we don't have a control, Chair, so that is also election, Chair. Because what happened now, there was a cut of a grant, which is was reduced to 182.86 million, and we don't really have control, Chair, so we have not achieved, and we are not going to achieve the annual target, Chair. So this is the one that we need to accept. The other one, Chair, is the related to the growth of aviation revenue, which is a regulated revenue. We targeted 41.49 million, but we only achieved 32.85 million. The air traffic volumes decreased during this period, Chairperson. And then the other one, Honorable Chair, was on the revenue model and price strategy that was to be developed. But in quarter three, it was needed to be signed off. And then it's not signed off yet, Chair, because we had a delay to the appointment of the facilitators in this regard. We also don't really have expertise in this regard, Chair. You become good to manage even the service provider when you've got expertise. So that is the area we're also building expertise, Honorable Chair. And then when we look at the quarter three financial report, Ms. Busiswa Shonga, our CFO, Chair, is going to take us through that. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Chair, and good morning, Honorable Members. With regards to the financial report, as at end of December, we were under budget for revenue at 17.6, and the main reason for this is the commercial revenue. And on this one, Chair, I think the biggest one is in terms of we do equipment sales and we assist the municipalities. However, we were not able to really bill them for the services because there were a bit of delays in ensuring that we are able to assist them in those. And for the expenditure, we are under budget by 28.4 million. The biggest of this is we have the compensation of employees, which is 7.2 million under budget. And the reason for this, we do have a parity exercise that was started in the previous financial year. That is not for the current year, it's not completed yet. We expect that at the end of this quarter, we will have a... looked at benchmarking the salaries with the market, and based on that we needed to increase some people's salaries, and what the board decided at the time, we'll do it over a phase period, it's a 3-year period, and what we did phase one, which was in the 2017-18, phase two is the current one, 2017-18, and then the last one will be in the next financial year. So we haven't completed implementation for the current year. That's what we are doing now in the third quarter.
Okay. Maybe after the presentation of the financials, somebody would explain to us the parity thing.
Yes, Chair. And Chair, in the admin expenditure, we do have, there is an underspending as well. That's mainly due to the training. And we do have included here is the legal fees. However, this one, Chair, we will definitely spend it because we have requested the attorneys to provide us with the invoices. We do know that there's invoices that they haven't submitted to us. And on the operating expenditure, I think the biggest one that we had is on electricity. When we budgeted based on what Eskom had required, but during the NERSA approval process, they were granted a lesser amount, so we do have a savings in that as well. And at the end of the quarter, we had a deficit of 44.1, but then this was planned because we were using surplus funds that were retained from the previous financial year. Chair, the next slide is just a comparison between the budget and the actual expenditure. The first one is just a reflection of the government grants, the commercial and the non-regulated revenue. It just shows the comparison so that the members can see which revenue classes were affected. And the next one, Chair, is just the expenditure. That's where we have compensation of employees. We had budgeted 211.5. We have only spent 204. And the operational expenditure, we have budgeted 115. We only spent 100 million. And admin, we had budgeted 10.7, we only spent the 5 million. Sure. The next slide, this is just a statement of financial position, looking at how healthy we are as an organization, the financial healthiness. In terms of that, our assets still exceed the liabilities, so we are likely to operate as a going concern. There is nothing in terms of this that would, that I think the members should worry on. What we are doing now is in terms of the receivables, we have put much effort in that, trying to recover all the monies that are due. As an entity, we have employed accounts receivable clerks so that they can be able to follow up, because based on the previously, we never really used to follow up on that. Now we are actively following them up to ensure that we get paid timeously, and to reduce the debtor's days to within the acceptable level of 30 days as the treasury benchmark. And on the creditors as well, Chair, we are paying mostly our creditors within the 30 days as requested, and there is no concern from our side that we are not complying with the government policy and legislation. Thank you, Chair. That's all on the financial report.
Thank you very much, Chair. That was the last slide. So as you suggested, Chair, we will give more clarity on that parity one during the question time. And it was also guided by the department, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay. The financials were just summary. I thought we were going to get some details there, but we're given summary. The financial people don't like disclosing everything. I don't know why. But yeah, I think in future when you come here, you must give a bit more detail. Not a lot, but unpack especially the administrative expenditure and the other operating expenditure. The compensation to employees doesn't need to be unpacked. But these two, we need to get a sense of what are you reporting on for that quarter. What were the key drivers of expenditure, and admin and operating expenditure? Yeah, but in future I'm just saying that, please give us more. Okay, are we going to get explanation on parity? That's the background and what's happening. I don't remember us interacting with that particular issue. Do we have an HR? The chair was introducing somebody from HR. Who's from HR? The CEO is from HR.
The CEO can best predict your weather and your climate projections, chair. You know, when you are a manager, you are also an HR manager.
Yeah, but is there an HR person?
Chair just joined us, Ms.
No, let her give us the explanation. Is she new? Oh, okay. Oh, if she's new, when did she join?
Towards end of November, Chair.
Last year?
Yes.
No, you are very new. You are new from the box.
Okay, so I think it's the same explanation as the acting CEO gave in terms of
We accept you are new, so we may not have the background information. Let's get the CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson. Although I'm also not going to get to the details. What has happened, Chair, there was the benchmark using the related science bodies, 2015-16, I think. And then the outcomes of that benchmark were never implemented. But follow on that, the department also started a process of looking at its own entities. And then during that process, the department found out that South African Weather Service is overpaying people in some categories and underpaying people in other categories. So for those that were overpaid, it was mainly the people that have been there longer, and it was a very, very small percentage. But for those that were underpaid, it was a significant number, Chairperson. Some were even far below the midpoint scale, which my colleague, I think, can explain what does that mean. So then the department gave us a guidance as management, and then they also came to present to the board the high-level guidance that we're giving to the entity. So as the entity, we took, or the department first, they took data from us, employee data, so they analyzed that data, and then they used it to give us the guidance they gave us. So using that guidance, and then we took a comprehensive submission to the board. But then the board decided that, you know, this can impact significantly on the employee cost, because at that time we were already on 58% employee cost. then it was recommended that they recommended the phase approach, because we had about three options. So now this implementation is about that phase approach, Honorable Chair. And then we report the progress to the board so that the board can monitor whether we're still on track and also whether we're not exceeding the budget that we have, because the board is monitoring that the budget. Although there's also an understanding that science and information institutions like SOS, employee costs tend to increase because of that its nature as a science organization. I've tried my best, Chair. Maybe my colleague can end. Thank you.
No, I think you did explain. You didn't try to explain. That is something that might have slipped through our fingers when we do oversight. Would have loved to be briefed on that one as well. So the 7.282 million is exceeded what was budgeted for that quarter. So there was a So it's likely to exceed the budgeted amount for compensation of employees. It's parity.
No, Chair. The 7.2, that's an understanding.
Understanding.
Yes, Chair.
Okay.
And the parity exercise is expected to be around 3 million of that will go to the parity exercise.
Oh, okay.
And Chair,
so, no, I thought it was an over expenditure.
Not sure, it's an under expenditure. And I think in terms of the detail that the Chair has asked, I think, we do have a report. I thought that the members have, that's where the detail is, but I can just take us through what is included in the administrative expenses and
update of the CEO. Chair?
The matter of the CEO, Chair, we at a point where we can't say much because it's adjudicated, but I can just give some highlights of where we are right now. The first part was, once allegations were made against the CEO, there was a preliminary investigation that was done and completed, and the report was received, and the minister then wrote back to the board to say we must communicate the outcome of the first preliminary investigation to the CEO. So that was presented to him. The issue was either he denies or he accepts, and then we take it further. But in his letter, he denied, he refuted all the allegations and invited the board to continue with the investigation, which we then, the letter was then sent to the minister with some recommendations. So where we are right now is the minister has already appointed an investigating team to do now the in-depth investigation. So we will wait for the outcome of the report, and then, you know, based on what the outcome is and the minister's recommendation, then we'll take it further. But that's where we are right now.
Okay. So when do you anticipate this matter to be... When was he put on suspension?
He was put on suspension on the 14th of September. The suspension and dismissal of the CEO is governed by the SOS Act, and it's quite specific. And unfortunately, if I have to say so, the time frames are longer than what you normally would encounter. If you were going via the regular labor law, probably the matter would have been completed a long time ago. So we're guided by the Act. For instance, the minister has 20 days to do the preliminary investigation. When the preliminary investigation is done, the minister has another 60, take that back, it's not a month, 2 months, 60 days to get the investigation, the first investigation done. And when that is done, the minister has another 60 days to decide on, you know, going forward.
Chair and members, I think the Chair of the Board is right. Unfortunately, the Act, although it's correct in that it sets up procedures allowing him to respond and so on, it's quite a lengthy time period. So if you were to follow the time period, I think it's about 6 months. So we can't really speed the matter up because he has to be afforded the right to reply, then the appointment of the people, so that we're in the last stage now. But it is unfortunate, and it's something I think that the committee should take cognizance of and look at in terms of something that might need amending, you know, to make the process shorter.
And I can just add that luckily for us, we are reviewing the source mandate. So it's something that we probably will have to look at. This has been a very difficult exercise.
Okay, so the Act says when the allegation comes, what is the steps, what are the steps?
So, Chair, what happens is that when the allegations are made, a letter is written to him. He responds to the allegation. On the basis of his response, a report is written to the minister. The minister then decides whether or not to do a preliminary investigation. Once the preliminary is done, he is then shown the results of that investigation and given an opportunity to respond to those. On the basis of his response, the minister then decides whether a full investigation must be done. And then, obviously, we're now waiting for that report.
So, on the full investigation.
Yeah. And then, once that's done, obviously, the findings will dictate whether there should be charges, disciplinary charges or not. But I think the whole thing of the preliminary investigation, and then, really, if there are charges, there must be an investigation. Mm-hmm. Simple. So, we should truncate the process down. Because I think it's just unnecessarily bureaucratic. But unfortunately, that's the way it is, and we as a board can't subvert the Act.
Okay, so after the full investigation, the report comes, the report says there's a basis
to charge,
then the employee gets charged, and then how long does it take between the charging and the conclusion of the DC?
Well, I think there's a 30-day period, the normal notice period that you have to give. So it would be another month at least. And then obviously the length of time it takes to run the disciplinary hearing. So it's a very...
So it doesn't stipulate on the time to run the DC?
No. But, ordinarily you would appoint a panel and they would sit, hear the charges, and then when the evidence is complete, make a finding. So, in fact, that should probably be the shortest part of the process, the end part, you know.
Yo. Is that an Act of Parliament?
Yeah. Can I say that this is quite unusual because if it was in a case of an employer-employee, you follow the labor law and the time frames, and we as a board would have set up the time frames, but you always would have to be clear that there's fairness, there's, you know, we find our hands tied. And we as a board are not even allowed to suspend the CEO. We have to get the minister to suspend the CEO. So it's handled blindly by the minister, and then we get instructed when the next action has to follow.
Because I remember there is a 60, is it 60 or 90 day period between when a person is when you exercise precautionary suspension and to conclude all of these things, including the DC. But if it's 2 months, and that is during the period when the person is suspended. Okay. Okay. But suspension is not just a suspension, it's also some form of sanction, so to speak, because the person is at home, it's not doing anything, it affects the career, it affects a lot of things about an individual. Okay, so that is there. Sorry, excuse me. Can we get comments from the members? Questions? On the quarterly report, no questions. Welcome, Honourable Perry. Okay, you are a very lucky organization. Ever since I became the chair of this committee, or became a member of parliament, I've never seen members so happy about the presentation, not even willing to ask questions. I think you are very lucky, especially given the fact that your overall performance is sitting at 59. 59 is what percent, is what mark do you allocate them? It's not a distinction. Yeah, but I just noticed some. Where, for instance, you said performance is 61%, but it is still red. On page 15, communications plan implemented, 65% was the target. You achieved 61%. I'm sure at 61% it was supposed to be partially achieved. It was supposed to be yellow and not red. on page 13, conduct feasibility study on that development of the land that you have there. The third quarter target was to be conduct feasibility study and obtain prior approval from Treasury. And then the analysis, you talk about not achieved because the service provider not appointed. Also, this was the service provider to conduct the feasibility study. Okay, because I thought. Okay. But otherwise, that is that. The third quarter performance report of source 59% is quite low, I think. It might have something to do with how you've also colored them. When you're supposed to say partially, you said not achieved. Maybe that might also influence, I don't know. But we note the quarterly report as presented, and we can only encourage you to pull up your socks so that you exceed that percentage in the fourth and the last quarter report, which it's coming to an end of this month. Because that will constitute your annual performance report. I don't know whether you have been able to attend to all the issues raised by the Auditor General, so that you don't have the same audit outcome as the one that you received in the last financial year, because the CFO didn't take us through what are the issues that relate to the audit. But I hope that you are attending to those issues. On the CEO, I think we can only call on the minister to speed up the process and the board. How that act is structured is something that boggles the mind, because the labor relations regime itself is structured in such a way that it encourages the resolution of disputes in the workplace as speedily as possible. Where there is a fair process, there is a fair procedure, and no one is prejudiced. Where no one is prejudiced. So this act seems like it's not consistent with what the labor regime seeks to advance and to put in place in the workplace. So it's something that needs to be looked at. But I think that we must just request that this process must be speeded up, so that the organization can have certainty whether the CEO is exonerated or there's something that is found and ultimately leaves the organization, or it comes back, so that there is that stability. Remember, our gripe in the main was the fact that this CEO was new, and he came after a very turbulent period in the board, where the board had issues with the former CEO, Dr. Makuleni, who also had to leave, prematurely terminated a contract. Then you recruited Jerry. Jerry came, made a very good impression with the committee that is now taking the organization forward. And now there's this allegation that they came, suspended. Now the suspension is taking forever now, with no indication whether these matters are going to be finalized soon, which seem like it's how the law is structured, which is very unfair. But I think despite that, be that as it may, we can only request that this matter must be speeded up. Request also with the minister that the matter must be speeded up, so that there is a certainty around what should happen to the CEO. When somebody gets suspended, it must be on the basis of the seriousness of the allegation and the fact that some prima facie evidence have been obtained, that there seem to be something before you go to the actual investigation. So this SOS Act is structured differently. But anyway, there's not much we can do, but we really want this matter to be finalized. That investigation that has been commissioned must be concluded. If there are charges must be put, there must be a DC, the matter must be finalized. Would have hoped that by the time we arrive here, these matters would have been sorted out.
of the CEO. But otherwise, thank you very much, Chair. So the board has been reconfirmed as it is, so there are new people brought in. What is the situation?
The situation is the previous board's term of office was expiring, and the minister had to find new board members. So the new board list was presented to cabinet and confirmed. Then the final confirmation of the members came in November. And then to start the 1st of January. So it's a new, completely new board. So the other board's term of office has expired. Now this is a brand new board.
So the members are still the same members?
Not really. The members, along the way there was a reconstitution because Philip and I and another board member were appointed in June.
Yeah.
But when we were finalizing the term of office of the previous board,
mm-hmm.
So as a board itself, its term ended in December. That week we got on board, we were finishing of the term of office of the members who had stepped off from the board.
Yeah.
Now, this is a brand new board.
But the brand new, does it have some of the people
yes,
who stepped
off? Yes, it does. Often it happens, and often it happens because for continuity and memory, you retain some of the board members and you bring in new ones. In private business, you do that to retain memory. So the board members retire by rotation. So even with this one, there are members who came from the previous board who are part of it. Oh, the majority are new. It's only three board members that came from the previous board. Out of 10, you want to say something? Out of 10, 3 are the old board members.
And who are the 3 old board members?
David Lefuzo, Advocate Derek Block, and Mayor Sally Barayaki.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much, members. That brings us to the end of the meeting. This has been one of the shortest meetings I've attended. I don't know whether it has got something to do with the end of the term of our office. Members are exhausted of asking too many questions. They want to go and campaign. But otherwise... thank you very much. We're meeting tomorrow with Sandparks. The minister won't be around. There was an issue where the minister was supposed to brief us on the consequences for people defying parliament willy-nilly. And then we're going to get a presentation from Sandparks. But nevertheless, we'll proceed with Sandparks, the part that requires the minister to brief us on. We'll postpone that part. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, how are you?
I'm ready.
How are you?
Good. And you?
I'm fine.
Yeah. And stuff? How's life?
No.
Once I think now elections are coming?
No.
What's your plan?
All I want to check is, for me, at least I finished speaking and you have to praise my name.
Me too.
You are never going to be.
Name me too. I was never posthumous.
Same applies to
Gupta's
and any other. So
none of them ever even thought of approaching me.
So I'm just saying, I don't want to surprise.
No, there's nothing.
Just
condition
me now.
Yeah. No.
Your friends,
Mandash, and
others are already
mentioned. Luckily, I established very early on these people that I'm not a person to be approached with bribes, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, the only occasion, let me tell you something.